Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
What is good, everybody? Welcome to a special edition of the SB Nation NFL Show. This is the Inside the Draft Room edition. I am Rob Stats Guerrera, excited to bring you a conversation that I had with Scott Pioli, five-time Executive of the Year a couple of weeks ago. We are going to take you inside one of the most secretive places in the NFL. But before we do, we want to remind you that DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code SBNNFL for a special offer when you sign up. That is code SBNNFL only at DraftKings. All right, before we get to our interview with Scott Pioli, I just want to remind everybody again, rate, review, follow the SB Nation NFL Show. You do not want to miss the coverage that we have. In addition to today's great show, we are also going to talk to Aiden Hutchinson, possible first overall draft pick. He's going to join the show tomorrow. We're going to talk to Chris Olave of Ohio State, and we're going to talk to Jaquan Brisker, safety from Penn State, all on Thursday's show before the draft. So you want to follow now so you don't miss any of that great stuff. Okay, let's not waste any more of your time. Here's my conversation with Scott Pioli. Joining us now on the SB Nation NFL Show to take us inside a draft room and help us figure out what goes on and just what it's like is three-time Super Bowl champion, five-time Executive of the Year, Scott Pioli. Scott, thank you so much for the time today.
Oh, absolutely, Rob. I'm going with Rob. I know a lot of people go with Stats. I'm going with Rob. I've known you long enough. So, thanks for having me. Really, really a treat. So thank you.
No problem. Let's get right into it because I have a million questions for you. First, just generally, what is the toughest part of draft preparation?
The toughest part of it is getting all the information and making sure that you're using the most important information. And I know that sounds very cliche or just a matter, of course. But with different players, with different circumstances, different situations, there's a lot of variables that are important depending on the individual. Obviously, you have to know if the player can play. You have to know their background. But to me, it's you're always gathering information. You're always getting information. You're always getting evaluations. But you have to keep asking why. And the toughest part of it is that in the end, you're dealing with the evaluation and unfortunately the judgment of human beings. And no matter how much data, no matter how much information, no matter, there'll always be people that say, I told you so. When dealing with the evaluation of human beings, it's never going to be 100% correct.
And you also have to evaluate the sources of that information,
yes,
right? Because the people
absolutely
telling you things have their own interests in mind. So you
absolutely
have to, there's like two judgments going on.
Yes, Seth, that is a great point because it's not as an information gatherer and evaluator, you have to get information from different places. Sometimes it's people on your own staff that have have biases. They because it's someone from their area, because it's someone that they've fallen in like with for different reasons, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional. But then when you go back to the school, some of the coaches and some of the people that you have to interface with there, that you have to gather information with, some people say, well, they've got their agenda, but I don't know if it's agenda as much as it's people just being human. Right. And the people on the coaching staffs have good experiences with some people. They have bad experiences with some people. Some people, they know the kids, but they know their family or they recruited them. So they'll be hesitant to share all the truth, or they will be the, you know, the eternal optimist and not give you all of what you need. And it doesn't necessarily make people bad people that you're gathering that information from, and it doesn't make them liars. It just makes them very, very human.
I heard a story from Mike Tannenbaum once about how Rex Ryan actually told one of the people they were interviewing what to say when Tannenbaum asked him a question, because Rex really liked this player, so he wanted to get him drafted by the Jets. Have you ever had to deal with that from your own staff? Kind of, because like you said, guys kind of get their favorites.
Well, I don't know if I've had anyone coach a play. Well, you know, I know that some scouts, I'll say this, I know there have been scouts who will tell players, listen, this is what's important to either me, meaning Pioli, or this is what's important to Belichick. This is what's important to, you know, Parcells or to Dan Quinn or all the coaches I've worked with. So they'll coach them up a little bit. That has happened. But I think in the best organizations, that doesn't happen, because people are wanting to really get to the truth that is the best decision for the greater good, not just to satisfy, you know, what they want. And I know that there's been times, a number of times in coaches I've worked with, where there's been a disagreement in either the physical skills or the tools and or the makeup of the individual. And we can sit in the same room. I mean, there's a couple of times that I remember Bill and I sat in the same room with the same player, heard the same conversation. I would say 99% of the time we received it the same way and were on the same page, even though we talked about it and had to work through some things. And then there was a couple of times with every head coach that I've worked with, or even coordinators, where you sit in the room and you just hear and sense things completely differently. And then it comes down to, again, this is a fascinating, my mind's going 100 miles an hour right now, because this is a fascinating conversation, because there are people that can have a tendency that are more, they maybe aren't this way all the time, they become so competitive or so much want what they want that they're willing to be, that getting the player that they want becomes a competition rather than the most important thing for the greater good. And they allow their, every one of us in this business is selfish, right? And we sometimes will allow our competitiveness or our desire to want something supersede the greater good. But that's where the best partnerships are usually good, where a good partner knows when to stand down. And I think that was a very important thing that I learned, and I made sure that I had to learn when to stand down sometimes for the greater good. I hope that makes sense.
Can you remember a particular instance where you had to stand down and either definitely worked out or you were right?
I didn't write that book yet, Stafford. That would be giving someone up that or someone that I worked with. I get it. Yeah, I wouldn't want to get into specifics. That's why I'm never going to write a book either, you know, because you got to
come on.
You end up having to reveal warts, and it ends up being unfair to other people, because there were times, you know, where I wish I wouldn't have stood down and been stronger. And then there's other times where, as even in the position of being responsible, where I stood down and thought maybe I wasn't being either a good listener or a good teammate, and we came up with the wrong decision.
Are those arguments all over by the time the draft starts, or are they still going on as the draft starts and as guys are still on the board?
Well, you have to put a timeline on it, right? And so there is a timeline on it, and that particular conversation needs to be over. That doesn't mean that the people who didn't get that way or the person that didn't get their way has fully come to resolution within their own mind. And some people choose to be good teammates and good partners. Some don't. Some will complain out of school. And, you know, this is interesting. I'll give you one name of one of my favorite coaches of all time, who I think is still to this day was, you know, was one of the best evaluators. Not all good coaches are good evaluators. Dante Scarnecchia, who was our offensive line coach at the New England Patriots, one of the best evaluators that I've been around. Also, one of the most loyal human beings and one of the most loyal coaches, one of the most loyal partners, teammates, whatever you want to call all of that, all of those roles that he played. There were a number of times Dante would stand up, fight his fight, and there were a number of times where we selected players that maybe Dante wasn't all in on and wasn't completely comfortable with. But when we brought a player to the Patriots and we brought him to Dante and brought him to Dante's room, he had this ability and has this ability to say, the heck with my personal feelings. This guy's mine. He's in my room. He's one of us. Here we go. And he would coach his butt off and he would never whisper or mutter or complain in the background, at lunch, at the water cooler. He was, you know, he was all in. And to me, those that people wonder about some of the brilliance and the beauty of Dante Scarnecchia. Yes, he's a great coach. Yes, he's an excellent teacher, a great tactician, all those things. But from that standpoint, that's one of the ways that he was unique. And I'll say this, I'll give you a quick story too, again, without mentioning names. So there was an early draft in New England where, you know, we were in the draft room. We had a very small group of people in draft room, very, very small. And we were discussing a player or a group of players. And it was way ahead of our pick. And Bill, Ernie Adams, myself, and the Crafts, a small group of us in the draft room. And we called a couple of assistant coaches up to the draft room because we wanted to talk about this group of players at this particular position. What do you think about XYZ? They gave their piece. They spoke. We pushed back a little bit. And there was a player that wasn't necessarily their favorite. It was two coaches. We liked someone more than they did. And they had someone else ahead. So after that discussion, it's the old Foxborough Stadium, and we get done. They leave the room and they walk out into the lobby. Very shortly thereafter, I have to excuse myself to go to the bathroom. So I have to go all the way downstairs. But as I walk out, I'm following behind them a few steps, and I hear them talking and saying to one another, you know, I don't even know why they call us up there. They probably don't give a crap and they're going to take whoever they want anyway. And I got to tell you, Rob, it was one of those moments where I felt like crap. That I felt in that moment that we weren't doing a good enough job of leading. And that if that's how our teammates, the people we worked with, felt that their opinion was valued, that we weren't doing a good job. It was interesting because it then led to a discussion where, you know, I went back upstairs and Bill and I talked about it. I said, Bill, you know, are we doing a good enough job of listening to our folks here? Yes, we've done all the work, but, you know, sometimes we don't have that strong of a feeling on this player. And this is why we had them up there. Maybe we're missing something. And so it was one of those situations where, long-winded answer, Rob, I'm sorry, but that moment was a moment where, you know, the complaining outside of the room was an important moment. I won't tell you who they were. I won't tell you who the player was, but I will say that they were wrong.
Well, there you go. That's the most important part.
No, but the truth is they were wrong, and so were Bill and I, because the guy that we liked, he also didn't make it. So we were all wrong.
Well, and that's another outcome of that situation, right? We tend to think that one person is going to be right or wrong, but that's not necessarily how it works.
Exactly. Exactly. But I do have to say that Bill and I were wrong, too.
Plenty more to go with five-time Executive of the Year, Scott Pioli. Stay with us. When we come back, we're going to get into what it's like when you are actually on the clock in the draft room and how much comes down to playing the man rather than playing the house. We'll explain what I mean when we come back.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury, not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, the art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank & Trust. Members FDIC.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
You mentioned the small draft room. I'm always interested in that. What was the setup of your draft room? How did you figure that out?
Yeah, it was very different. You know, I because I saw several iterations, you know, between my time in Cleveland, the 1 year in Baltimore in 96. And, you know, in Cleveland, it was very small group of people. In Baltimore, it was more people, more open with Ozzie and Coach Marchabrota for that 1 year, then go to the Jets for the next 3 years. And it's somewhere in between, smaller, but it's still also not everybody. And then we get to New England and we kept it very small. And it's interesting because I look back on that retrospectively, Bill and I, and we knew what our intent was and how we wanted to do it and why we were doing what we were doing. We didn't want distractions. We didn't want conversations. We were so laser focused that less was more. And what happens is when people are in there, there's a couple of things can happen and a couple of things do happen. Some people don't focus on the business and the task at hand only, and there's chirping and they're just talking and, you know, distractions. And on the flip side, you want people to feel like they're being included and that's an inclusive process. You know, it's been all across the board, but I know, you know, some of the times that I've been able to be a part of making some of the best decisions is when it has been a smaller group because there are fewer distractions. And that makes it difficult too, because unintentionally it makes people feel like they're less than, and unintentionally it feels like they don't matter. And that's not, there's been plenty of times and decisions and things in life, even when I was a leader or part of the leadership group, that I wasn't a part of discussions. And that's just part of what comes with the territory. So those rooms, like in New England, it was very small. I think at time there were times where we didn't have more than 8 or 9 people in the, maybe 7 or 8 people in the draft room, and people were called in when it was important to have a conversation. And it was part of that just do your job thing. Everyone in that draft room had a job and they needed to be able to stay laser focused. And we handled business, pretty well.
So take me sort of into the moment now. You're not on the clock. You're on deck, so to speak. So you're next up. What's going on in the room?
Well, it depends on the circumstance and the situation, because that's the thing. We were paying attention, being laser focused 10 picks ahead, because it can't be just being laser focused on the pick ahead of you and preparing what you're doing. Part of the job is to not only know, because you're going to draft some combination. Some teams go best player available. Some go need. Usually the best decisions are made when those things are kind of closer together, and it's some duality of that. And you need to be paying attention to the entire draft and watch and see how players are leaving the board and what your opportunity is. If you do have need, because we all have needs, but you're looking for the best players available. And then as things are happening with each pick, you're looking at this player who's, the best corner still on your board versus the player who's the best running back on your board. What's the need? And you're spending that time having discussions, debating what's the best way to move. Is the best decision for us next pickup? We need to be ready to trade because there could be greater value in accumulating more draft picks because we have so many needs or picks in the future. Rob, I don't know if there's not one set thing happening that, the pick before. It's, again, this enormity of information that you've gathered leading up to the process that, and I've said this often, there's the evaluation portion of the process, and then there's the strategy portion of the process. As you get closer to the draft, and then once you're in the draft and game is on, the evaluation part should have all been done. And now you're thinking strategically how you're going to maneuver up and down the board to get your roster to the best place you think it can be.
That's fascinating to me, that part of it. People talk about playing poker in a casino, and they say poker is the best game to play because you're not playing the house, you're playing the other people at the table. What you're talking about there kind of reminds me of that. How much of it is, okay, this person may be the best player on our board that's available, but so-and-so is picking after me. I don't think they like this guy or they don't need this position. So I think maybe can we wait to get him in a later round? How do you balance that side of it?
Stats, this is an awesome question, because as you study people and you study teams and you're studying the head coach and the general manager and the decision makers of a team, you're studying them and you're predicting, projecting as to what they're going to make. And you know what? You get that wrong sometimes too. So you can think that you know, and you can do all the homework that you want. Say, well, they're definitely going tackle here. They're going to be going tackle here. I've heard this. I've seen this. And often you can be right, but you know what? Sometimes you're wrong too. And there's this whole idea of having actual knowledge. I go back to one of our times at the Jets, and this is a story that I know it's been told a number of times. We knew we wanted Matt Light, right? And we were in the second round, and we thought we were going to be able to sit where we were, that we didn't think that there was a team that was going to pick a tackle before us. Well, lo and behold, I think I want to say we were at 51, the Lions were at 50, the Jets were at 49 or 48, in and around there. And I call Matt Light to check in on Matt Light and say, hey, Matt, this is Pioli. Don't tell anyone that's there with you who you're talking to. Just want to see how you're doing, what's going on. Have you heard from anybody? And Matt says to me in that moment, he goes, oh, that's funny. I'm actually on my other, back when they had the, it was the call waiting thing. He says, I just put the Jets on hold. They're keeping me on the phone because they're getting ready to take me. And we're now at pick 44 or 45. And I look at Bill and I said, Matt, okay, I'm going to hang up now, but don't tell anybody. You're going to get back on with the Jets. Don't tell anyone that you just spoke to me. And I get off the phone and I tell Bill, hey, here's what's going down. Now, the Lions had the pick right before the Jets. So we get on the phone with Matt Millen. We call Matt Millen. Hey, Matt, we want you. What's it going to take to jump up? Matt's like, hey, ham sandwich. We give him a ham sandwich. We jump one pick ahead of the Jets. call Matt White. Matt, he says, yeah, I'm still on the phone with the Jets. I said, well, don't worry about it. You're actually going to go higher in the draft because we are now going to pick you one pick ahead of the draft of the Jets. And I tell that story because it goes back to what you're saying. You do all this information gathering. You do all this studying of the other teams, their front offices, their tendencies, their traits, their coaching staff, their needs. You know, what? As an outsider, you never know what the other teams think their real needs are because every team has more information about their own players, their own roster, their own circumstances than you do. Like, you'll know, you know, there's some players that might be suspended and the world doesn't know yet. There may be some players with circumstances, situations, health issues that the world doesn't know about. Now, in this era of so much more information being out there, there's still information that's secret. So you need to navigate through all of that stuff to get to the place to strategically do the right thing or the best thing for your team.
I have two more questions for you. The first is, because you've been a part of drafts before the NFL changed the format and then after, which I think 2010 was when they decided the first round was going to be Thursday night.
Yeah.
How did that change things for you? Because that would drive me nuts. I would much rather just get in the draft and do it instead of having the first round. Then you have all night to sit and think about who you picked, who you could have picked, who's still available. How did it change for you?
Well, here's one of the things I'll say this. This is one of the things that I learned early on from both Bills, Belichick and Parcells, is at first it annoyed me, right, or annoyed me, or it frustrated me. But the reality is, get over it. It doesn't matter because the rules are the rules and you're going to have to follow the rules. So that energy that's spent being frustrated or annoyed or bothered by something that's a new, that's going to be done a new way, all that is wasted energy, and all it does is waste energy, time, and emotion and intellect that can be spent on doing your job. So yeah, it bothered me because I'm also a creature of habit and I like it. And again, you set up a process that that prepares you to do it a certain way. And then all of a sudden it changes and then you just need to adjust to it. It's just like rules changes. You just need to adjust.
That was a very Patriots answer.
But it's the truth. Yes, you're right, but that's the truth. What are you going to do? What good is worrying about that stuff going to do? Parcells used to say, "Hey, don't chase windmills. You know, just move on."
So then, last question: the draft is over. You have finished for the year. All the picks are in. What do you do? Do you take everybody out to dinner? What happens that night?
It depends. Most of the time, people just want to be left alone. You know, and meaning this, because it's different in different circumstances. You know, I remember for most of the teams I was with, it was over and everyone just kind of, you know, you did your recap, you thanked people, and then you kind of went your own way. The scouts just wanted to go home to their families. You know, the people that were in for they just wanted to get home and go see, it's the springtime. They want to see their kids. They want to see their wives. They want to get out. Some places you would, you know, I remember at the Falcons, there was an after party, you know, where the scouts could go and people could go. But truthfully, there was this party, but all the coaches just wanted to go home and see their families. You know, they were in the middle of mini camps and getting ready for mini camps. They were going to be having to work. What ends up usually being Mother's Day weekend is going to be one of the two weekends. They just want to get home and see their families. And the scouts want to get home and see their families. So it's all across the board in what people do. And to me, I just wanted to get a little bit of peace without the anxiety of the draft coming up. And then there's this within a day or two, you know, I mean, I say that, but really once the draft is over, rookie free agency used to be so competitive. That was such a battle for days. And then you'd have guys that were committed and then guys that would skunk you after they committed. Back in the day, the fax would never come over with their signature. So there's still another, when you're done, there's some people that are working like crazy to finish that. And then the other people are just on their way.
See, this is why you need to watch Scott Pioli. You've seen him on NFL Network. You've seen him on CBS. You made us all smarter, Scott. Thank you very much. 3-time Super Bowl champ, 5-time executive of the year. We appreciate the time today.
Rob, thank you so much for having me. Let's do this again, please.
Thanks again to Scott Pioli for his time. I hope you enjoyed that. I know I did. I always like learning just a little bit more about the process. Plenty more to come for SB Nation and the SB Nation NFL show when it comes to draft coverage. We have a huge show before the draft starts. Aiden Hutchinson is going to join us, possible number one overall pick. Chris Olave, the wide receiver, is going to join us. And Penn State safety Jaquan Brisker also going to hop on. That is all coming up tomorrow on the SB Nation NFL show, not to mention our live draft coverage on YouTube, on Twitter, on Facebook. Everywhere you watch the draft and consume the internets, that is where we are going to be. We'll be live with you for the first 10 picks, and then after that, we're going to transition to a Twitter space. We'll take your questions, your answers. We're going to have members from every team community hopping in and out throughout the night. So if you have a question about your team's draft pick or what they didn't do or anything, come hop in the space, be a part of it. We want to hear from you. That's going to do it for this edition of the show. Please rate, review, follow the SB Nation NFL show. Again, you want all that goodness to come right to your phone. Enjoy your Wednesday, everybody. I'm Rob Stats Guerrera. We'll talk tomorrow.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.